Ferdinand da war dran.
Kommt ja von da.
Was da der Hochzeitstopping mit dem? Det är så 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 det är
Okay.
This should be sent to the off-campus students also, and that's why we, each group will be using this microphone today as well. And I'm very happy to have Sebastian and here and
Øyvind.
And I will be running off to another meeting, but I will come back again. So, but please use and use the fact that Sebastian is here and write down his feedback and try to incorporate it when you sit and do your exams and so on, for instance. We are very fortunate to have Sebastian here. And so then we have until, when are you leaving, Sebastian?
I have to leave at 11:30.
11:30, and how? 11:30, yeah. How many groups do we have? One group, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven groups, is that so? Can one in each group hold up his or her hand? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Yeah, okay. So eight groups. What's that? How many? Is it 10 minutes per group? Or now I'm using system one, so I'm not calculating. Is it 9?
You can do
10. We have 2.5 hours. 20 minutes per group. Is somebody? Två timmar 40. Men så ska vi ha en paus. So maybe 15 minutes. 15 minutes per group. So you have quite good time. Okay, so who want to present first? And you have and who is talking?
Just see the presentation as part of the course as well. So I know you're very good at presenting, so that's not on there. Just leave it. It shows on, but you have to turn it on.
Hi. Oh, that's loud.
So we're Girl Power. So this is our revised design and results from our usability testing. So if you guys remember, we had this paper prototype when we first originally did this. And our initial feedback was that we should have a working navigation. They liked that it was kept simple, and they liked that we used colors in it. And they liked the fact that we had a reminder option for your assignments. So like, if you don't have time, you can do it later. But we decided that we each wanted to try Adobe Experience Design. So we each made our own prototype based on the feedback of our first round of user testing. So this is prototype number one. This is prototype number two, yeah, three, and four. So we each kind of had their own variation of it, but we all followed the same like five or six pages and the same ideas. We just kind of did them about in our own way. So then for our methods and testing, we did another round of usability testing. We had seven participants, one or two for each of the designs. And we did first, before we went out and did those testings, we did a quick pilot test with one of the designs to see if there's any little last minute changes we should make. We tried the thinking out loud process again, and we gave them two specific tasks, and we each, whenever we did the user testing, we used the same verbiage for every task so that we would have hopefully around the same results and we wouldn't have any issues. So from that testing, the main criteria we got out of all four designs was that each of them had good flow and they were easy to understand. If you remember from the designs, we tried to keep it fairly simple. A lot of people like the to-do list, but it should be a bit more visible and thorough, so it shouldn't be too cluttered and should have, but have enough information for you to be able to just look at it and know what needs to be done. We had a comment section on the assignment page, so like if an assignment wasn't clear, students could write a comment being like, how long should this be, or should we add pictures, and the teacher could respond, and any other student would be able to see the comments as well so that everyone could be clarified without multiple people having to ask the teacher the same thing. We realized that verbiage was kind of a problem. We used the word feedback for your grades, and some people, because of that, they were looking for the word feedback in our designs, not necessarily grades, and it caused a little bit of confusion. They liked the use of color, our font size, and they really liked the buttons being easy to push. And we also verified when someone would turn in an assignment, so you could click hand in and it says submitted, so you know for sure that you did click the button and it did go through. And to have, we needed, everyone tried to press our little hamburger navigation icons, so we realized that sometimes people don't really look through the entire design, they're just like, navigation, we'll have it all, so. And so we decided to then, after getting this user testing, to revise our design again and combine all four of our designs and pick aspects that were good from each of them and use the feedback to create one last design, which is this. And you can actually scan the QR code and see it on your phone if you want. So you can see that what we ended up doing was we kept our push notification. Everyone really liked that. Our to-do list, can we zoom? All right. Our to-do list ended up having an upcoming and completed so that you could see what you've already done and go to your grades from there, or the navigation, because someone tried to do that on one of our designs and they really liked that you could just see it right there. We tried to use a lot of color on our to-do list, blue for submitted, a soft orange for hasn't been completed yet, and on our completed assignments, once the deadline's passed, it's green if it was graded, gray if it wasn't. And we just kind of revised our designs a little bit on each of the pages, made sure we had a verification page, which is the success and the green check mark. Yeah, so that's our final design.
Sebastian, maybe if you take the Hi, so this is Sebastian talking. I think I'm off screen. So I like that you did the four up and then you used the opportunity to learn a new tool. That's always really great. You should learn as much tools as possible. And I really like that you combined the four into one and that you did a pilot study. That's really useful. So how many participants did you have in your pilot?
One
each or
one total. And then actually from that we realized that there were a couple of changes we needed to make before we did a big pilot study, so just like little things.
Yeah, but that's really useful, and that's you also do that in science all the time. You do like a pilot study on a limited selection and then you alter your study to whatever degree, and it's really nice that you kept the same form going through the entire study after you did your pilot. It's really good. Can you define what they meant by good flow? Is it like movement from one section to another, or what does that mean?
It was that it was obvious how they would complete their tasks, so they didn't have to stop and look for the next step forward.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's the you've obviously done quite a lot of stuff on guiding the user, I guess. It's kind of hard to see. I'll look at your small prototype later. I was just curious, did you ever check for color vision deficiency with this prototype? Or is that meant for like the next step or something?
That would be the next step as we focus on trying to bring together So not much shaping or actual design has got into this. This is more trying to figure out functions and
Oh, that's a good start. Super. I don't think I have that much more.
Okay.
I like the it's a good structured study and it's a good structured prototype. And how did you find Adobe Experience Design?
Amazing program.
Yeah.
So did you guys use Macs or PC? Did you discuss the differences?
Well, I noticed the differences just on the like how Macs have their top navigation, but on the PCs it's in a hamburger menu, which made it a little bit more complicated because I thought there'd be more options on the Mac, but there were a bit less. But like if you've used any of the other Adobe products, it's not too hard. It has a lot of the same shortcuts.
Excellent. Cool. So next time, try another tool, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Or continue being super proficient in this tool. I would, if you've not tried Sketch, I would recommend you try it. It's they have like 30-day free trial or something. No, they don't have. For Mac, I think the best two options are either Atomic or Experience Design.
Super.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
Whenever you have something to add.
Okay. So, from last time we have been here, we were left with this. It's a small card sorting exercise in order to have a better idea what we had to put into the into our prototype. And we worked on the calendar and assignment function of our app, which means the part that lets you see the lectures that you have to follow, where they are, and the assignment that you've been sent by the professor. And also we focused on an app that would be, let's say, read-only, which means that it's not a personal organizer, but it's a channel to receive information from Enteno. From the card sorting, we tried to do a model of the app. And based on the card sorting and based on the user scenario that we did with a questionnaire a few weeks ago, and again, it's we divided the app in, well, not the app, but the function, because it would be part of the bigger learning management system app. That would be the calendar section that would include the schedule and the assignment. And we started working on the prototype using the an online platform that is called Figma. And we wanted to try that because it's, as far as we understood, the only collaborative platform to do rapid prototyping. So we wanted to try that as well. And this app includes a part of the design part that is kind of similar to Sketch, and also lets you do links inside the app, so you can have the kind of prototype that you get with InVision or whatever. But we did not use this prototype as it is. We use it as a design tool mostly and to revise the structure. So this would be the first version that we tested ourselves. This one, yeah. And so just to try to find problems. And for example, we found that a few icons and a few of the structure had problems, like this one didn't make much sense, and we tried to stick to the iOS guidelines for the calendar. So we used this tool and the interactivity in the tool for doing basically an heuristic evaluation, but not for the user testing. For the user testing, we used a simplified version of the design. We started in black and white, and we used paper. We did two run of user test with four people the first run. We did the pilot one, just using again this app. But then we used the paper to do two rounds of user testing, and I can guide you through a little bit of the.
Sorry.
The interface.
This one.
Well, okay. Oh, this one. But just to. The interface has this is the landing page as soon as you open the calendar, as it's default set on the day you are in, and it tells you on the lower part, it tells you what lecture you have during the day, and on the after part you can, with the kind of ruler, go around the week, and then you can go to the monthly view. We don't have it here, but well, kind of a standard monthly view from iOS. And then from here you can go to assignment and have what is basically a to-do list with what you have to do in the upcoming days. And we found that with this prototype we had two major problems. One is that simplifying these two buttons, we made them completely unusable and people didn't know where they were. And also we found that grayscale was not enough to have a connection between the course and this two dot that should signify that there is a course during the day. But we found that it worked pretty well to use red to signify when there is an assignment to do. And we also found that this line that should signify the time did not work very well. because being read, almost all the user thought it was related to the assignments. And so we did. This was the first round of test, and from there we went to the second. This one is already the second. So for the second, we reintroduced the color, which made much more clear the connection between this little bit of interface and the structure down. And we redesigned the small line for the time in an apparently much more effective way. And also we fixed the button on the top, so it was clear whether you were in the calendar, in the schedule section, or in the assignment section. And a little bit about how we did the user testing. We had a facilitator and another of our group would impersonate the computer. And we basically asked the user to complete a task that was find the first assignment he had to hand in the next few days, starting from the home page until he would get inside the to-do list or would find the assignment in the calendar and open it and see basically this. Now this is not the page but similar page with the specification of the calendar of the assignment. And what we try to all to in round take all the to be facilitator and computer interns, and so we experiment a little bit all the difficulties of keeping a user focused on what he had to do. And to for us probably the biggest problem was that almost all the users tried to get confirmation from us whether they were doing good, and we had all the time to state multiple times that we would answer question at the end but not during the test. So that was, I think, one of the biggest problem, if you have other impression. So, but in the end, we did two rounds of tests with a little tweaking. It doesn't change much between the prototypes. In the problem, we had problem with colors, and so with whether content were from the same source, like assignment or lecture. And we had problems with another design element that is in the to-do list. We thought that would have been good to have overdue assignments on the top, and this was kind of unclear for most people. We should test it again with another workflow for the users, whether you have actually you receive an assignment, you had to do it, and so you can learn how it is the interaction to get an assignment done. But straight away, looking at this page, a lot of you that has a problem understanding exactly what overdue meant and what they should do about it if they find that kind of assignment in their to-do list, which is an assignment that hasn't been turned in time, basically. And I think that's it. There is also one of this is the last revision that still has to be tested that also reintroduced the color also here. Doesn't show very well on the projector, but just to have a reminder that a certain assignment is related to a certain lecture, so it has the color of the lecture. But it's, we still wanted to focus on the red, as to make this list clear as a list of assignment and not as a list of lecture. From the testing, that worked quite well. It was at least it was clear that they were in a different part of the app straight away, and so there was no confusion between whether this was a list of lecture, upcoming lecture, or upcoming assignments. Yay.
What did you guys think of the Figma browser application? I'm curious.
Okay. For me, the biggest problem that is, and we realized it after a while, is that you cannot export almost anything from it. If you want to work on it again, you cannot export a PDF. I tried it. You can only export SVGs of the icons you did. So that's for me, it's kind of a deal breaker. But it's quite...
On the good side is that four of us could see the same screen at the same time, and the changes were real time. So that helped us a lot to understand each other and what we meant when we were trying to make changes.
Yeah. Actually, at first we sketched on a paper first, then we opened Figma and four of us and worked together on this app, so it's quite safe a lot.
I'd say it's not as fast as paper prototyping, but it's still a lot faster than having just one doing an high-fidelity prototype on his own. But it's not as fast as paper prototyping. We still spent a few hours here.
So you guys, did you do the human-computer testing for all of your tests? Or?
Yeah.
So I was wondering, why do you think that users kept asking for confirmation if they were doing it right or not? Why do you think?
Because we are so much sympathetic that they always looked at the facilitator and some probably there's body language involved, and it didn't happen much. I think with me, because I'm cold and artless. But that's a problem. If you are involved a little bit with the user, I think that then there starts to be a conversation with you, and it always look up to you. Am I doing wrong? Am I doing right? And so.
Yeah, because I think that could be a downside from using the human computer.
The question was were not to the human computer, but were to the facilitator. The human computer was, I think, well, it usually was silent. So, there was not much interaction with him, but was with the facilitator.
Okay.
That was the one that asked, that gave the task and introduced the testing to the user, while the computer just stayed there with the cards and flipped through and exchanged and so on. Okay.
Sure. Oh, so really good that you did also try the new tool. I didn't know about this tool, so please or thank you for introducing me to it. I like the way you did multiple versions and you incrementally improved. So for each cluster of tests, how many respondents did you have? So this is something you just plotted. This is nothing they filled in. No, so you created this, yep. Cool. So just short note when you're doing stuff like this. Be careful of personal data. So if, for instance, are you an off-campus student or not, and you're in a school that only has like three off-campus students, you shouldn't note it. If it's not directly applicable to design and it's personal data, then you should be careful with it. So not that you're doing anything wrong here, just be mindful of it. There also, we just discussed before class that there's an upcoming EU directive about personal data, which is super strict. So get a habit of how you treat personal data also during these kinds of tests. And if you're collecting multiple, like name, age, like things that can track people down, you also have to have an compliance form. I think there will be a course in how to do this later, or have you had one? Frode Volden had one with us when I did this.
Actually, this afternoon, I will go through the personal consent form.
Yep.
And this is a discussion about the what to display and when.
Yep.
No,
this looks fine. Just keep that in mind for when you're doing these kinds of studies. Even though it's like guerrilla testing, so you go out and test with people, personal data is always an issue. So really good that you you had your... So how many was there in each cluster about? Like 10 respondents for each? Yeah, that's a good... Yeah, those are really good numbers. Between 5 and 8 people are excellent. Nice that you did the heuristic evaluation on your own sketches and then figured out that, okay, we need to go low fidelity, we need to go pro paper to make this work. There's no wrong in going one step back. It could feel like one step back, but it really isn't, because it made you work faster. And you said that your icons were not working.
The problem that we found out is that the problem of the structure model of the icon, because we didn't test the icon.
Okay.
Let's say that in the first version you would tap an icon to go on the month with you, but then it did not figure out how you would change month, for example.
Mm.
So we just stick to the iOS structure, which is you go back, you go to the month,
okay, so it was the flow thing. Okay,
so
cool.
That,
yep.
That meant that we did not need an icon there any longer, but we did that. On September, there would be an arrow here. You tap on September, you go on the yearly view that's not designed.
Yep.
But if you are here, you tap on the day and you...
Okay, yep. I sort of get it. I just had a short comment on how your icon, why it might be, but then it's not applicable. So when you're doing like this, like an app almost feeling, it's sometimes you will come in conflict with users that are either predominantly Android or iPhone users. If you use one kind of icon that might be familiar to iPhone users, but it's not in the Android sort of like design guidelines, because that icon is different, or like you say, the flow is different. For me, I predominantly use Android, so I often press the back button to go back, and then many like single page applications, they just break because they're designed to have you push the back thing instead of actually moving back. So that would be patterns for the platform that are embedded in the user. So that could cause issues when you're creating like web apps or cross-platform apps. I think that's about it. Same as the other group, when you're doing color coding, be sure that that's not the only way to understand the interface, because it's highly influenced by lighting in the room and the screen brightness of the device, and also the user's ability to actually perceive colors. So that's always work with contrast also. And that's for both of you.
Difference between assignment and lecture, because one is aligned and the other is...
Yeah.
Aligned.
That's really good. Use different like artifacts or different things. So did you get any feedback on the use of red for assignments?
Well, we didn't test it against anything else, but I think it worked quite well.
Yeah, a few comments were like similar to, oh, I see this red, that means it's something that it's urgent.
Yep.
Yeah,
because that was one of the things I was like wondering about when you had the schedule and everything is red. Is it stressful or is it normal when you're in the app because red is like the accent color or how does that work? So that's something you can explore in a future prototype or it's not right or wrong. It's stuff you just have to figure out. Yeah. So cool. Really good job. And the Figma thing, it worked fine. The collaboration and so on as well. Yeah. So this is collaborative design tools are really neat because they enable what you just did. You can be four people hacking at a prototype, and also the speed at which you make it, because you can be making one form and you can be making another, and that's kind of hard to do if you're dealing with Sketch or something like that, because then you have to like fraction it up and then join it, and it's different. So. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Perfect. Hi. Good morning, everyone. So we are the first part-time student group, I guess.
Yeah.
One and only. Yeah. So we wanted to make a prototype for an iPhone. That's because we all use Macs. And that's the only thing we like. So we wanted the app to be as efficient as possible. Since we all use Blackboard, I don't know if you have used Blackboard before? No. It's a horrible system we use here at school. So we wanted something opposite of that, something really, really, really efficient to use, really simple, not really fun, but just straightforward to the point, because we don't want to waste a student's time, because it's kind of precious, especially for us since we are working full time and have a lot to do. So we wanted something efficient. We used Balsamiq for our program. We can talk about that a little bit later, how that is to use. So our evaluation after our first design, as you can see, this is our first design, kind of really simple drawings. The evaluation was that the design of the first page home, this is the home page, the icons should look less like apps. So that was kind of a thing that was going through the whole, all the evaluations were kind of, okay, so it looks like it looked like apps instead of just icons. So when the users press the different icons, they expected something more. So they expected to actually open a different kind of program instead of just like a page. We wanted to make two swipe pages today and updates. So if you swipe left and right, especially during these Tinder days, it's kind of easy. Everyone knows how to do that. So we wanted to make two swipe days today and update more clearly on the homepage. So there's no like, so the users can see the errors clearly on the page. There's no confusion. We don't want any confusion at all. We needed to make the icons in the menu bigger and clearer. We also, so if we, let's say that we press the calendar, calendar one. So the feedback we got was that we needed to rearrange a day, month, and year to make the font and to make the font size smaller in the calendar. So basically, make it more, make it similar to other calendars we already use, like Outlook and in the iCal calendar, because that's users are more familiar with that, and it seems like that's what they like to see. We the icon that informs the user of their location. Do we have that? The map one? Yeah. So we also wanted to, you know, when we were completely new students, we don't know where thing our classrooms are. We don't know where the lecture hall is. So we wanted a map and location, and we wanted that in the calendar as well. So the icon that informed the user of the location on the map should be more marked more clearly. That was the thing that our users said that they were missing. The feature today and updates are, as the user said, both useful, and most users would enjoy having them. But this feature used mostly by the advanced users. So that's kind of like an application. That's kind of a feature the users would use when they are familiar with the actual app. What else? So in general, we can go to the our new design. So this is the new design. Kind of similar, just more tweaked, I guess, as it should be. In general, the design was found easy to understand, which was kind of our purpose. Both icons and the different features were also easy to understand. But it was suggested that we should change some features and the overall design of the icons yet again. So we don't want it to look like apps. That's what we did. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we did. So now it looks more like icons instead of just apps. So if you press the profile or press some, you can just press something. Do you want it? Navigation? So you don't get the app feeling, you just get an actual page. We wanted it efficient, as we said. We also wanted the icons to use more often. It should be close to the bottom of the screen, so you can actually rearrange the icons as you wish. So for me, I tweet a lot at my work, and the new update in Twitter is kind of awful, because you have to, if you want to look at the profile, you have to go all the way to the left, the top left corner, which, and I only use one hand, so that's kind of annoying for me. So, and the user said that as well, that they want the more, the icons they use more want it to be down on the screen. But that's, again, for the more advanced user. Add features, yeah. And then you can delete your features. That's or just
you
not
can
delete,
customize
but
your
customize.
Own,
there we go.
Front page with the features you use the most, or just rearrange the way you want it. Yeah,
and that's something we would like to see in Blackboard, but yeah, you know how that work goes. So the notification feature, as we saw in our last design, was seen as redundant because of our update feature. So we decided to remove it completely. Notifications will be published in the updates and also within the appropriate features. So inside of the if you press on course or class, you will get updates for that class in that page as well. So you can actually see it all the time. Again, that's opposite of what you see in Blackboard. I'm sorry, I hate Blackboard, as you maybe figured out. There was a request for a navigation feature, so we added that to the homepage to make it more clearly. As you progress and use the app more often, you can remove it. So add or remove the feature, which is great because you now know where the classroom is, so you don't need to see it every Thursday or Tuesday, or what day is today? Thursday. Yeah. Favorites can be added. So the favorites on the top screen, they can be added, edited. I mean, add the ones you use the most again on the top, and rearrange the order. You can also, to make the icon update and today more accessible, we made the bar menu on the homepage to show there are some hidden features, so you can kind of swipe and.
On the first prototype, we had these dots on the bottom and the icons, and people didn't understand that they could swipe. But with the top bar menu, then you can understand that there are some features there. Easier. You can still swipe. Yeah.
But you don't have to. Let's see. So, we. As we said, part-time students, we have full-time jobs, so we haven't kind of we haven't tested it, unfortunately, because we haven't had time to do that since we knew that we got told that we have this presentation like 2 days ago, so we haven't been able to test it. So we haven't tested it for users with impairments of some sort. That's why we haven't added any colors. That's why we have. Made it really, really simple but understandable and clean. Yeah. Is there something we're missing? The calendar. Yeah, that's true. So the calendar, which is really important, and doesn't work today, just like Blackboard. There we go. Perfect. So we made the changes that the users told us to, make it more clear, change the font a little bit, and change the dates, year and day. Date, year and day. Date, week and day. Yeah, and the menu is moved to the bottom of the screen. So we wanted to make create a simple setup for the current day. You can click the name of the room where you have your class. And if you do that, it goes directly to the map, so you can see where it is, which is kind of neat. Navigation shows where you are, so always show you where you are, which is nice. And then you can also change the month, obviously, change view. So if you need to rearrange day, month, and year, kind of, yeah. The bar menu moved to the bottom has been done to make it easier to access when using one hand, as I said. Which I think is nice. The thing is, since we haven't been able to test it on any users, it's kind of, we want to see if they think the same as us, which we would like to do. Yeah. Yeah. Are we missing something? Yeah, we use Balsamic. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we wanted to try the Balsamic, and it was very easy to use, and it was fast. Of course, not much like design. It's more like adding the feature and where you want people to have the buttons and stuff. So, yeah.
In Balsamic, you don't have to make the actual icons. You just have to rearrange everything and create your own design. But you don't have to use time to kind of drop the calendar icon, which is nice if you want to be efficient. So that was kind of a perfect program for us. So, yeah. Thank you. Questions.
Yeah. In the calendar, how
no. There we go.
In the calendar, how would you navigate back and forth?
To where? To the homepage or? I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, we haven't added every feature yet, but you're supposed to be able to access all the different view in each page or each.
So why did you choose to put the menu down?
To make it more make it easier when you're using one hand. Because the one we had at the first page, at the home page up here, this one was made to make it clear that there are some features to the right and to the left. But when we were in the different features, we wanted it to... Oh, come on. There. We wanted it to be easier to find, to just... Yeah. I don't know.
So, let's say that you actually use the use the app. So, when you're on the front page, if you can go back to the front page, so you will see that there are some hidden features in the back. So, and since you can rearrange the icons, you probably will rearrange it. So, let's say me, because I only use my right hand, I will rearrange the icons I use the most to the bottom of the screen. So, basically, I don't need the menu on top, I don't need that yet. So when you click on the calendar, I want to write something or whatever, and I want to go back to the menu with the icons or to the updates, then it's easier for me or the user to just still use one hand. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But we haven't tested it.
So that's the thing, so.
That would be something to test.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Well, it's a two-part. Firstly, you say you wanted to rearrange or be able to rearrange the icons, but wouldn't that also make it possible that users would be able to miss certain information because, oh, I just downgrade that, that's not important for me? How do you make sure that, firstly, they don't miss important information because you could add features as well, so you could have more than the one you have on the first page, right? That's one. I forgot what the second was, but yeah.
That's a kind of easy answer. You see the top mark on the left side? Yeah. So you always, if you get a new update on
anything
basically, you will get a notification on it. So that was kind of, so you will always see that menu. That will always be on your page, no matter what kind of page you were on. So, yeah. Did I answer your question? Yeah? Okay.
Hi, Sebastian again. Balsamiq is, like you said, it's really cool and it's really fast. And you always run into a problem you had about the icons because they're fairly rudimental, and they're fairly limited sometimes. So, but for stacking features or arranging the app like you're doing now, perfect tool, super fast. It would be interesting to see the next user test you do, moving like something that's perceived as a global navigation, like she touched on. Moving that within an app, what kind of feedback you will get on that? For that's an interesting design choice. And also, this is highly leveraged on people actually designing their own experience, right? There are some numbers that tell us that people don't really do that. So whatever they get out of the box is what they actually use. It's more normal for super users or extreme edge case users to do this. So you might ending up designing something for 10% or maybe 5% of your users. So maybe more extensive testing when you're doing this and try to figure out how your users normally arrange their apps, or if this is a feature that you really want. Are you designing for yourself or are you designing for your target? Other than that, I think it was a cool presentation. And also you had the clicky click. That's super nice. What more? And also your decision of making an iPhone app because you have iPhones, that's perfectly fine. Do that. That's for all of you. Do when you're in school, do whatever you want to do. Because when you start working with this, there will be less time to do whatever you want to do. So feel free, explore. And quick note on you mentioned efficiency quite a lot. How did you measure efficiency for this app or this solution?
Time.
Because this is really important when you put what you would call a key performance indicator on something like a KPI, and you say it's efficiency. It's really important to have efficiency defined, because efficiency would be totally different for a super user that uses this every day, and a novice user. So maybe time is something for one user, and the ability to sort multiple tasks at one is something for a super user. So this is, if you look into an airplane cockpit, it's designed for efficiency, but it has everything visual all at once. It will drive you nuts. If you're never flown an aircraft, you will go insane. But it's actually designed that way, so you can know what's going on at an instant. So just be careful, just have efficiency defined when you're designing for efficiency, and know what efficiency is for your target. So other than that, super cool. How do you all live, like in Oslo, or you're off campus students, or? Yeah, so how do you solve the working together?
Wow.
So last night.
Yeah, cool. So this is the final version 3 that you haven't tested?
Yeah.
Yep, cool.
So we have to work like so the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of airports.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get the underscore final version 3 underscore now it's final underscore small fixes underscore done. I know, it's the worst. Don't do that. Cool. Thank you.
We'll be back at like 10 past.
Jag får inte...
Vi skulle evaluere processen.
Okay.
Det går, altså,
det er,
Are people ready? Oh, should we start or is it more time? 10 minutes. Yeah, we should. We should be good. At first, I think we'd be group, no problem or something, no idea, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, as the first time, basically our assignment, we did a kind of smaller thing. We just had assignment, find the assignment, deliver, like basically upload the file and submit it. So yeah, this is our first sketches from last time. Really straightforward prototyping on paper. Really elegant scanning, by the way. I love those. Yeah, straightforward through the process, see the file, and delivering. Oh, yeah. Perfect. When it's delivered, that's the one. And
that's edit.
Yeah, that's the edit one. As you see, the changes is that it's save and submit and going back. In comparison to the last one, was just submit. Yeah, to go over to the scan the scene. This is our second edition. Basically, we didn't do as many changes because I can maybe say what we got in feedback from the first round. In the first round, as we said last time, we got three feedbacks. The first one was people wanted to know when the due date was for the assignment, so we put that up there. The second feature was... Oh, yeah. Just go to upload. Yeah, basically, here going through the process, uploading the file. Here is the file. And submit it. And now in this page... The two things people needed some more information on, more give us feedback about was, when is it graded? How did I do? Like, so people wanted to know, has actually been graded? So we put that up there as well. And we also added a timestamp, not just a day, to make sure that, it's the last edition. Good. And the third thing was, at this moment, people... We asked them to, so you've submitted, but what if you want to check your file or resubmit a new edition? Because, as you can see, it's the 7th and the due date is 9th. Then we had the button, and people didn't really see the button, or it could have been even more obvious it's a button. So we made the pen in the down right corner a more visual button. Yeah. And here you're in again. I just see same as last time. Save, submit, or go back. And yeah, people understood the concept of, I want to add a comment and so on. So yeah, basically, straightforward. That's what you had done. It's short and sweet. Yeah, questions?
Did you test this user?
A second time around, we got... Basically, this one, it went quite smooth. Nothing really new. People just went through. We got some feedback. We just looked over some recordings. I just recorded the screen as they did. And people kind of moved a bit slow. But otherwise than that, they basically, at some point, at least one of the uses, we... Yeah, so on the second edition, we did 5 use tests. And at least one or two of them moved a bit slow around. But yeah, in the end, they did it and didn't take that much time. Yeah.
We focused on a very simple task, and our design is very basic. And we didn't really rethink the design when we designed it the second time. When we corrected the very specific things that people were struggling with the first design, the second test was really, there wasn't any problems at all, I think.
So your task was just focused on the blue box,
that way? Yeah. Yes, just that's us. Yeah, question.
Which program?
We used User Experience, the demo edition from Adobe. And it's, as someone said, I think it's your group, it's quite decent, but it's so annoying. I get so many Vs in the text.
Yes.
Selection and deselection of certain features are so annoying. Yeah, but wasn't that enjoyable? More questions? No? First round we had 3, and second round we had 5. Yeah. Wait. I need to get back. Yeah.
Okay. How did you feel that it? How beneficial was it to have such many user tests?
Well, of course, it's always good to have certain tests, and we basically just did 2 tests. Just 5 is not that many on the second round. We just wanted to just have enough users to see if a tendency is showing. And yeah, we just took, how many can you do today? Like, yeah, I want to. Okay, good. And I do this once. So, yeah.
Like I said, I think our design is a little too simple, and we focus on too small of a part of the program to have that much benefit from the user tests, because this is very it's very similar also to the Blackboard version of the assignment delivery, so I didn't really think that we got a lot out of the second round of tests, even though we had 5 of them, because we didn't really get any feedback at all, or any constructive, no new information from the user tests.
Yep.
Hi. So this is Sebastian again. You've scoped your test like really narrow, and that's really not a problem, because it makes you understand this specific thing. What we can do is always like have a follow up questionnaire or something where you try to explore a little bit around, and this borders on difference between affirmative testing and like user research. This might be more you trying to figure out if this process works or not. So it's like a affirmative testing or a functionality testing, more than a like a design by research testing, which is fine as long as you do it at the right point. But like what you said, you're unsure of what you're actually creating, then you could have used this opportunity to understand more about the use case and more about your users, and are you having the right target, and so on. But that's well and fine. It's all how you limit your scope and what artifacts or what product do you want from your tests. So as long as you have like an idea and a firm plan around that, that's fine. What I did find interesting about your small prototype, if you go a little bit back to where you have like the start of it almost, and then into the assignment delivery, this one. So there's this concept called Gestalt Design Theory. Do you know about it? Do anyone know about Gestalt? Yeah, perfect. Everyone knows it. Can you comment on this and Gestalt? No, what I'm thinking about is you have two input forms, but they have completely different language. So I for one, was kind of confused between what is input and why are they different. So you're like in even a small, yes, these two, even in a small prototype, you introduced what I would call insecurity or some questioning about what is this. So it's not wrong or bad or anything. It's just interesting. So you can also figure that out from testing as well. Do you have any comments? Yes.
Yeah, it was a conscious choice. Basically, because I want to show that the upload part was kind of cloud thing, or not cloud, but basically this is where you put your stuff. And next things, which is from a different language, which is more like this is hard, this is text, straightforward, this is done. So just basically to put that upper box out from the rest of it.
Yep.
But of course, could be a problem.
Yeah. No, it's like I said, it's not right or wrong, and makes sense. Just explore better on that. That makes sense for users as well, if they perceive the world like you perceive the world. So, excellent. Thank you. Any more questions, follow-up, comments? No? Sweet.
Next group.
Let's see. Okay. Here's our first paper prototype, just showing it really quickly. The task was basically for a lecturer to start a live stream. So this was like our front page. You would navigate into the live stream room where you could connect the room and ready to start a live stream, basically. Let's see. So this is the revised design. We decided to try out Mockingbird, just to get something on a computer screen and having just a very simple wireframe. What we discovered was there's some limitations with it. We don't really have all the icons, which is basically why there's just crosses here. So it was kind of missing elements we would like to show, so maybe we should have used a more advanced tool to suit our needs.
So a bit quickly about the feedback from the last, the first prototype, like we mentioned before, last time, the lecturer did quite easily get through the application and do his tasks, but what he found at, which, oh, sorry, it's, oh, separate stuff. What you found on the front page was that there was a lot of information there that for his task weren't quite necessary, because the way we thought was thinking about it was that this was going to be a shared platform for both students and lecturers, while we tried to scope it down to just look at the lecture part which was live recording. And that was something we tried to revise in the second prototype, where we then basically tried to move the stuff to the left. And while we found it was better, it was still that in the second user test, he still looked at the search for live lectures or recordings, and he didn't immediately go to the menu on the left. But I think that was also some part of it where that I didn't apply the right context, because I just set the user into the scenario that he should start live recording, and I should maybe instead have said that this is a shared platform, you're a lecturer, you need to start a recording. So then give him a bit more context to the whole task. Yes. Other than that, we didn't really make that much changes on this page on the second user test. While the first user test, the lecturer quite quickly found his room on the favorites. Since we said he should try and start a lecture and start streaming a lecture in room K105. Well, in the second user test, which were a separate user, he thought that, why do I need to actually choose my room? Because I have a time schedule which says where I'm supposed to be. Why can't this program just simply go there and pick out the room, and rather just ask for a confirmation, is this the room you actually want to use? And then automate the process a bit more. On that, it was no real changes here either. The second user didn't, which I found a bit kind of interesting, was that he didn't. The first user, in our first prototype, he got what the buttons underneath were, that was configuration, and to check that everything is set up correctly. Well, the second user didn't really see what is that actually. So that again might be something, if we were going to prototype further, make a third integration, we should maybe make that a bit clearer what are those configuration buttons, or make it clear that actually is configuration buttons. Well, I'm not used to use microphones. Other than that, he went to the live stream. He was just supposed to end and save it. And something that came up here was that, personally, which goes for both this and next page, was that, yes, just a good next page, the use of the buttons. Yes, those buttons. Yes, the bottom right buttons is that we had the same size of the different buttons, both to the save and to, if you wanted to just discard the lecture and wanted to save it to the clouds. And he thought that, why on earth are those buttons in the same size? Because you more often than not want to save it, you don't want to discard it. So even though we liked the use of colors, just to mark that this is a discard with red, he thought that button should be the save button should be much bigger than the other button, to make it more clear that those are not equal choices. And that went for the other page as well. And we didn't model it, but there should also be a confirmation whenever you press either to stop the recording and discard it. You should also have a confirmation. It shouldn't just be you click it, oh, gone. That was more a failure in our prototyping rather than nothing. It was something we thought about, but we didn't prototype it. So that was a fail on our side. Something else that came up. Yes, and the second user also thought that since, as a lecturer, you have more or less the same lecture info year after year. So he thought that it might be possible to connect a presentation to, or a recording to another recording he was done earlier, and then have comments that went through the different years, so that he could, if he noted, if he, for instance, last year he noted something and he made a comment on it, that would show up when he made the same type of recording next year again. Although I'm not quite sure how we're supposed to do that. Other than that, I don't think there are much to say. Oh yes, is he going to just go to the front page one time? Because he, our second user was again found that there, he found out why is there so much white space in the middle of the screen. He would much rather have the menu showing what are the live recordings right now. He wanted that to be much bigger, to use more space and don't have much empty room in the application. And that's basically it.
Hey. So first, what was your group number or name?
No clue, basically.
No clue. How many respondents did you have for your initial paper and your wireframe?
One each, because there were time issues when doing it, so there weren't real time to make more than one each, because the second use test came pretty, a bit suddenly on us. So I basically did that a quarter before I was supposed to do the work.
Yep.
So
So your tasks fills whatever time you have. That's the nature of life. So the good that you at least did the one. And when you're dealing with the one person, it's even more important to differentiate between his or her design solutions and their need for that solution. Like when you said make the save button bigger. What do you think the intent or what do you think the motive for him to saying that is?
I think basically the motive were that he were afraid to click a button he wasn't supposed to, especially since that's a high risk button. So a high risk button should be not be as big as the low risk button.
Yep. But again, you don't have to solve that by size. He's, I'm guessing his input is, it needs to be bigger so I see it. It's not always about size, it's about contrast, it's about positioning, it's about clustering, all of the things that we talked about in Gestalt, or we didn't talk about, but that is in Gestalt design theory. So Gestalt design theory deals about how you structure content and how you group content through color, grouping, similarities, size, shapes, and distance, and a lot of other beautiful stuff. So Google design, Google Gestalt design theory. If you don't know it, and also you touched on the don't do destructive tasks, which is really important in system design, is to enable your users to recover, which is what he couldn't do when he deleted a thing. And it's really frustrating if you put time into something, like he has put time into that lecture and then just destroyed the task. So a dude called Jakob Nielsen, he has some heuristics on what to do and what to avoid in system design. And error recovery and error preventions are two of the heuristics. So it's nice that you discover that, because it's how it should be. If you didn't discover that would be a loss, I would think. But my point is that you don't necessarily have to solve it through size of the buttons or colors of the buttons. Maybe it's just emphasizing save over discard rather than making discard red. Or so try different design languages and just try to make something that works for for him. And also, initially you said about the framing or the context of the assignment you gave your users, and that's so you can do two different things when you're testing something. You can do like a 5-second test, which is basically what is this, and then you can do more like scenario-based things. And in the scenario-based things, context is often valuable to get a good outcome. Like, he didn't understand that this was not for just him. So context is, it's good that you discover that on your own. I think that's about it.
I've commented on
that. Yeah.
Yeah, so you mentioned you didn't have much time to do testing. What you could have done is maybe do what is known as quick and dirty usability testing. It's Jacob Nielsen's simplified version of the heuristics, which you could have done that before you did user testing, so maybe I've gotten more valuable feedback by ironing out the small issues that you found in testing.
Is because the main page for me doesn't really make sense. It seems like it would benefit more for a student than the lecturer, if that makes sense.
It was basically to have this port was meant to be for students and lecturers, which is why we should really provide a better context for a lecturer. Or maybe even not shown these things for a lecturer because you might not even use it. So that's something we've thought about ourselves, but we didn't really change it.
I noticed you have sign in up there, and your
I just said I noticed you have sign in up there, and your lecturer said that you should be able to map his rooms with his calendar, right? You can also then make two different views for the app, one for people you know are lecturers and one for students, instead of integrating that into one solution. But it puts more constraint on the actual development and the system side of it. So it's no right or wrong, or you can cluster your information differently that it appears that this is valuable for me or this is not valuable for me and so on. So play around with it. Cool. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, this is as you can see, this is our first iteration. This is the paper prototyping that we presented last time. We interviewed and ran a quick usability test with two international students. Okay, let me describe, let me refresh what is our design. We selected a user scenario from our task tree, which is a scheduling feature for a daily basis, which the features include like check the member's class schedule, select the slots, and also select the attendee and send the meeting invitation or event to the students. This is to enhance the collaboration experience between students. Okay. Okay. Go next. Yeah. And this is our second iteration. We designed it using Sketch, and then we input it in InVision. Can you make it like full screen? Yeah, okay. So for this time we improve our test by preparing a test script, which is to uniform the test process. And we give a standard scenario, and we encourage our user to use ThinkAloud. As well, at the same time, we will interview them and to prompt them some questions or something. Our test participants remain as international students, and they are 20 to 25 years old. We tested on three participants. Okay, for this one, for the user, they can select, they have two selections, because based on our previous test, both of our participants will drag this time slot and select the time. Okay, for this one, okay. For this, we give them a task like, oh, you have to, okay, imagine that you have to schedule a meeting with Rick Sandwich, and now you would like to know what is his time that is available for you to schedule a meeting with him. Then select the time, which he is available, and then send an invitation to him. This is our like user scenario to them. So they will like search for Rick Sandwich, and it will show up whether he's available or not. Okay, from Thursday 9 to 6, they would like to have a meeting with him. So he will click on this one and select the meeting and the location, and they will create the meeting. From based on this result, we got that all of the participants did not realize that there is there's attendee buttons here. Their feedback is due to the color of this tab and also the position of the tab, because after the test we interview them, why is there, do you think that you can invite attendees to the meeting? They said, oh, I will just create a meeting and then I edit it, and I will look for the participant, like add participant, this button. Then I show them, oh, there's an attendee button on the top right, just next to the event tab. They say, oh, I didn't realize that because it's a gray color, I didn't see it. And also, usually I will read something from up to down, like event, and then subject, time, location, reminder, and then I'll go to just whether decide cancel or create it. I won't like go up again and look at the attendee tab, which we find that this is quite logic. Okay. Next is, can you show the final one? So after you ran the test, we designed our interface by just moving the attendee down to the reminder before they make their decision. Yeah.
Some user is a bit confusing when they saw this function for the first time, and we add a small tab here to tell them this function is to that you can check contact the schedules by selecting their name. So this is helpful for them for the first time.
Yeah. Can you go back? Yeah. To the interactive. Yeah. Okay. So besides that, we, even though he selected Rick Sandwich for the meeting, he's still able to invite the other people, which is not in the contact list. Like, they will keep typing his name. For example, he will keep Rick, and there will be a lot of name here. Then he will select like another people, like Rick Egg and Curry.
Yeah, if you selected Rick Sandwich, and the name will automatically fill in this part. You don't need to add it again.
You can select the name, and because this is linked to NTNU's database and using everyone's NTNU's email, which do not intrude your personal life privacy, this is everything like class schedules only. And then you create, then, yeah. So that's all from us. Do you have anyone? No? Okay, thank you. Yeah. You have any feedback?
Questions, comments, ideas?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, even though you say it's, oh no, not intruding the privacy of other people, basically I can just press a name there and it will show every time a person is unavailable. So basically I can just stalk them. And secondly, it also requires that the users put in every time they are available or available. So basically, you end up with being, I know you're available, I know, like, but sometimes maybe you don't haven't put in stuff there. That's so it's a weakness there, isn't it?
Well, this depends on the personality of the user, which I do not know how to answer this. Because this is personality and characteristic. Yeah, it depends. Yeah.
Actually kind of answers Andreas's question. That reminds me a lot of Google Calendars. I know my previous university used it, and you can actually choose to share your calendar or not with others. So you actively know who has your calendar, and you can choose how much data they see. You can see, oh, they can just see if I'm busy or not, or they can see my specific information. So it kind of seems like it's the same as Google Calendars, where you choose whether or not someone sees it, and you can revoke that at any time. So.
Yeah. Our idea, we get inspiration from the Microsoft Outlook, where in the organization, they will use this software to invite meetings with departments and also their staff. Because this is like work or the study, and I think, yeah, if you don't want people to know it, you can like block it yourself by not showing any information. But I think this is official, so it depends. Maybe we enhance it by like hide the content of your schedule. Just block it black or something else without showing what's the course you have. Yeah, like Rick Sandwich, like it show he's not available. That's all. He didn't mention that, oh, I'm busy dating or something. No. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. This is Sebastian off screen again. Did you... Because you touched on the similarities between Google Calendar and this one, and you said you drew inspiration from Outlook. So did you test Outlook and Google Calendar on users before you did this? Or how can you comment on that? Because it's something you also can do, is to test your competition and then see where your competitions fail. And then improve on it. So do you have comments on that? Or?
So your question is, did I compare Google and Microsoft?
If you actually tested your competition to figure out what you should do differently, or if this is just your solution, and then you tested your solution. It's about the design approach.
The design approach. We test on our solution, but I was Outlook user previously, so I'm very familiar with Outlook, and I like the features where you can block up your time slots, or and you can, like, if you want to make it private, it's private without showing anything. But for Google, the invitation is a little bit different, because you create an event, then you have to click on it again and edit it, and you add attendee. This is what I experienced.
That's a good segue into my next question, which was some of your users said, I'll just create it and edit it. Did you explore what they meant with that, and can you elaborate on it? It was when they created, like, the drag and drop, and you asked them if they had attendees or not, and they said, well, I'll just make it and then edit it later. Did you explore why they said that, and it which context?
I did interview them about this. They mentioned because they said they couldn't see the attendee button, like attendee tab on top. Like they will read from event and everything down, and then just like, okay, decide it. I think they won't go up. And
what would be interesting is knowing why that pre-existing pattern exists. Like, you have a user that tells you, I have a model of the world, and it differs from yours. It would be interesting to know, why is that model there? What does it mean, and how was it created? So that's something you do next time with prototype. When someone comes with a feedback like that, well, I'll just read like this, explore why they would read like that, try to gather information from that, because that's valuable information to creating your model, your mental model of the user. Yeah.
Thank you for your feedback.
So a short question or comment or whatever on the add attendees. I'll just the whole thing about adding attendees. Do you think do you have any like thoughts on why they find it difficult to, or you said the, well, you basically answered it with the reading down. I would also guess it's something with content switching. So you ask for a lot of information on a topic, and then you ask them to give more information on the same topic, but in another context. So having that in one block, as you ended with, could I think that's a better solution. So that was more a comment than a question. Sorry about that. Sweet, thank you.
Thank you.
It's American version.
Oh, can you plug it in here?
No, it's only these slots. You see? But this one isn't that. No.
This
is old.
Yeah, this is new.
It's a old model, and it's a different kind of.
You guys can.
But no.
Do you have a presentation?
No, we got few things that we need to show from PC because we don't have one presentation. Thank you very much.
So I can maybe ask Ander?
Yeah, ask, yeah.
of what up to do you need?
This?
Yeah, I have.
You have?
If it's the old.
Old, yeah. And it's American, and it's a little bit problem.
But it's this one. Yeah?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
I must buy.
No?
Yeah.
Now your energy died?
No, it's not died, but it's update, how always Apple do.
I will jump to the toilet.
Yeah.
We spoke about Christmas party in Makerspace. Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe we create some Christmas party.
Yeah. The bachelor student, they suggested that we have a Halloween gaming film.
Yeah,
watch
it's
night.
I saw this.
Yeah. So that's but definitely, and we should have a small workshop making Christmas lights.
I think yes.
With LEDs and
yes, we can create crazy Christmas tree for
yeah,
example.
And bake
some paper cake.
Paper cake with lights and so on.
Yeah, we
can do that.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Isn't there an oven in the cantina?
I will check.
I think there is.
Because
you have a stove and you can.
I have at home.
No, but I mean, I think it's in the canteen, in the personal.
And we can create, for example, it's a big small present, for example, for
or just for making at home, taking little.
Ah, very good. That old fashioned.
That's great.
But I don't know. You see, it's not show it.
Oh, you're not showing the screen?
No. You see only this.
So probably you have to change some kind of a mode. Maybe here, if you click here. What is that?
No.
That's the window. Okay, not here. View?
Preference.
No, that's not preference, that's the screen. You should have some kind of a presentation mode. And here, what does this mean? Mirror?
Yeah.
Yay!
Wait.
What happened? You see, it's update. It's a fucking dream.
Okay. Just open everything as it was. And
ten and nine. And create links from
and
ten.
And the presentations. And I think this we can also click from here and show it from here.
No. It's not good.
Why not?
Because it's very
okay.
Can I take
I would like to start with a reminding, like who are group members, that we also have two remote students, and that as on-campus students, I'm the only one who is on-campus student. Our task was to let the user submit assignment, and that was only thing we focused. This is our first paper prototype. We created on paper, and then Irina moved it to this Photoshop creation. We designed that together when Joachim was also here for 1 week. And we tested this paper design on, I think that was two users, which they were mostly interested in how it looks like, not really in the functionality. And now to make the prototype, to prepare ourselves for the user testing, we've been using Adobe XD because we can use it on many platforms. And it got really nice functionality of cloud. To share the file, you just need to put it in their Creative Cloud, and then it's automatically updated on all mobile devices that that your account is connected. This is how looks like the first design. Because I'm on the on-campus student, so I was only one person who was working with this prototype and asking students to try to solve our task. So after the first test, which was I tested on 5 users. Could you come back to the first thing? So the users, mostly what I found that it was too easy for the users. They understand everything. They didn't have a chance to make mistakes. They also, what was very important, they lacked the button bug. There was some comments on that icon, first icon from the course. The users thought that this is settings, that it's not a course. They were looking for something else. But what we were surprised and what we were afraid of, that the user will not see that they can swipe between the courses. But that was something that everyone really get very fast, and everyone was trying to swipe our application, not clicking, and they were like, why it's not swiping? So after the conclusions, we developed the second prototype, and we added the more functionality to make also users more confused a little bit. So when I was coming to the second round with a test, I was starting with another course. Like, first I was going to the users and saying that they are students of the usability course, and they will try to submit assignment. But the first page was web research, so I would like to see, will they try to change the view or not? They were changing view. We moved the lectures down because some users was saying that they don't want to see lectures on the top. We also added this back button, which then many users thought that it looks like from the player. So they wasn't sure, is that a back button? So that was thing that we changed in the third prototype. Here, if you move a little bit to more. We also added more screens with if someone were trying to click on an ad, then was the next screen showed with a file upload. And this is something I found really confused for the user. Users didn't understood that here they can choose the file. We also changed that in our third prototype. But here, and I added a screen where there is, I let the user submit without the files, and I was checking that the user can see they are submitting something empty, because I would like to see they are their mistakes. And also, if we go to the left, there was some users which knew that this is that they can upload the file, and there is also should be some screen with could you find more here, that one, that some of them, they were able to click that, and then they see on a green that they choose that one and go to another assignment screen. And if some of them were trying to click on home, then we show the screen with warning that do they really wanna left this assignment. What I found was that there was two type of the users, of students, two types. One students was the task solver, so they focus on what I taught to them, and then they was trying to submit assignment. But there was also students which were explorers. I taught them the task, and they were clicking everything. So I found this really interesting that they haven't been just trying to solve what I told them. They were trying to explore application and click on everything to get know all the options, and then they were trying to solve the task. And we can show the third prototype. So that's our last prototype. This one wasn't tested on a user. It's just a conclusion after these two testing rounds. We changed this file upload screen with more something that shows the user that they can choose from the files. And we also changed the button back. Yep. And a little bit change some details of the design. We can also show how it looks like when the user were testing, that they can click. And try to solve the task. What is happening if they click different buttons? Okay. You can click assignment, add file, choose. Like now you're submitting the empty file, but you can go back to the home screen and try to add now the assignment with a file. Yeah, so it's becoming green, you can upload, then its file is here visible, and you can assign. So that's all, thank you. Any questions?
Why would you guys make it more difficult for the users?
Because with this first user testing, I couldn't really see that the user are making mistakes, because it was so easy to them to go through. And there is no more options. And if they were clicking something else, I couldn't see it that they are clicking this other options. And here, if they were clicking on information, if they were clicking on some other menu items, I saw, because I was going, the prototype was going to the first page, menu page.
What is the action for the upload, like selecting files? It seems like you select what is already in it. Like, do you get what I mean here? It's like the selecting files. Mm-hmm. It seems like you can directly select without, like, because I believe this is from mobile. Mm-hmm. If mobile, they have some permission or something else, you have to go to the other folder and select it, but it seems like you drop down and everything is that. Is it how it works?
I imagine that this application got permissions only for one folder. It's a document folder. So I designed it that we got access only to document folder for this application to make it simpler. Of course, in the real life, we will have many folders because user can have these files in many folders. But for make it simple, I decided that it will be document folder.
Also, why did you choose the color red when you have not clicked on or chosen the folder?
Because that's showing that they are not chosen. But this might be also black. Yeah, that's something to what
felt a bit alarming, or that something was wrong with those files.
Yeah, sure. That your opinion might be also right, and this could be considered in the next round that maybe this color should be changed.
Hi, Sebastian, off screen. Thank you for the presentation. It was a fairly complex prototype. That's nice to see, and also that your users tried to explore. That's pretty cool. So when they did their exploration, did you find like did you discover something in that exploration that you used to make version 3 or version 3 or 4?
With the first thing, the very important was the lack of a back button. With the second prototype, it was really interesting that the user thought that this is real application. They, even if I told them on the start that this is prototype, and they just tried have to focus on the solving the task, not on a not imagine that this is a real application. They still were thinking that this is real application, and they were expecting from this prototype to behave as real application. So that was really interesting that even they were told that, yes, this is prototype, they still were believing that this is application.
That's like the balance between high fidelity and low fidelity when you're trying to discover or understand and so on. And it's also, you can also limit what people can do in your prototype. So it's either if you want them to explore or what you want to achieve, as long as you have like an end goal, or if you have the time to make a complex prototype, why not do it? Or if you have... You can also make like two different prototypes and explore them both, or figure out. But that's about your time management and how you do it. This is it's nice that you did like such a high fidelity. But I understand also why your users would be confused that this is not an actual app. Yeah, I talked about limiting the prototype, and also you moved the lectures down. I'm pretty glad you did. I don't want to be on the top. No. That's. I'm guessing if you showed this to a lecturer, they would be really, really pleased that the lectures were on top. But it's about solving for your users' needs, and probably knowing who your lecturers are not that important. It's more important like where your course actually is and what it is about, and when your assignments are, and so on. So, clever choice, and I hope it was informed by your actual user tests.
Actually, what was interested on the first prototype, we didn't have the label here, which is saying that this is lecturers, and one of the person who didn't know those people were like, but I don't know who they are. So maybe are they those my colleagues, or are they teachers? I don't know. So that's also what makes us to make a label of lecturers.
That's a good move. Last, this is not a critique of this application. But if you look at the first screen, the one with the cog, like the initial where you can swipe left or right on your courses, yeah. So this is just a general comment. Often when we design systems, we want them to be beautiful, right? We want them to be perfect. Visually stunning. We want them to have icons. What we fail to design for is that no one will put those beautiful images or those beautiful icons in place. More than often you will get, if you get a photo at all, it will be like a super crappy clip art something. So making design choices like this to enhance the visibility of something, or enhance the aesthetical beauty of something, could become a disaster if you don't have a dedicated resource to actually making sure that the artifacts or the things you put into it are good. So I'm not sure if you give this, like, I had a math teacher here a couple of years ago. He was not really an aesthetical guy. If he was in charge of putting in the icon there, it would not end good. So just keep that in mind, that you need to also understand who will be implementing the changes in your system. So, and that's just a comment.
Thank you very much. We go to the last but not least. You're alone.
Thank you. Hello, hello.
Okay. Grid. That's the name of our app. In short, we are user group. We focused on part-time students, and our and the goal were are to stay updated with the lectures and to to follow the lectures from remote, either from Oslo or Trondheim, wherever they're sitting, but to follow the course curriculum and the lectures. Four people are were tested, and our main we want to make an app that was easy to use, based on one of the personas, which are the basis for the prototype also, which are she's not very technical, and. Yeah, so we want to make an app that's easy to use, easy to customize, based on your subjects and yeah. Okay, so let's see. We did two types of tests. We recorded a thinking out loud test process and an interview type process. Okay, yeah. Tasks, main task, find lectures in the classes, and subtask, find the most current recorded lecture in your class, plus related info. So the process, we started out with a basic list of features. That might not be the right way to start, but we did. We are part-time students ourselves, so we try to put ourselves in that situation. And we had stumbled upon problems ourselves too, to be able to find them fast enough or easy enough. So that was, yeah. We wanted to have a creative navigation, but clean, and easy accessible menu, like back, forward, shortcuts and stuff. So prototype one looks sort of like that. We made several sketches. Let's see. Yeah, we started out here, went from here, there to here, and based on this we made the first prototype, which was an icon-based, we, yeah, okay, starting from the front, we have the global menu, we have lectures, like start page lectures, and we have the lecture, the third slide there, or third one. Yeah.
Hello? Okay, sorry. Okay, next one is a text-based prototype. We tested on four people, and I tested on one, and two more tested on two and one. Okay. Yeah, based on feedbacks, we made changes as follows. We changed a small icon. Okay, let's go back. We have basic navigations in corner, in all the corners. Sorry. We have settings up to in the right corner. We have a shortcut menu to the left. We have back. On the bottom left, and support icon, right left, right bottom corner. Feedbacks on that were, we don't understand the phone. Is it a telephone number? What is it? So it was sort of hard to understand. Another comment was, how do I get to the main page from lecture level 3 and 2? What is that symbol, or what is that thing under play on slide or on lectures main page. So we made some changes based on that. We changed the telephone icon to have a chat icon because the support is supposed to be a chat functionality. The grid logo was made to a home button, into a home button. The live, the live icon will work as a visual indicator as soon as we have it in operation. It's going to be a blinking light, like a recording light thing. We added another section. The user wanted to also have the option to comment during lectures or comment with other students during lectures. And after testing, okay, let's move on. Feedback here, I just mentioned that. Based on another input was, I don't understand, actually, we need to have my, I get that all the time. A combination of text and icons were optimal. The one I tested on, she said that she normally likes text, but in this case, she found it was easier to find lectures through an icon. So we went back and added text as well because it's hard to make good icons, universal icons that everybody understand. Also, under settings, top corner there, you're able to, you are supposed to be able to customize whether you want to have text or icon-based menus or on the front page. The same for level 2 lectures we tested with text. Here, as you see, it's a lot of text to read, so it's a simple, it was a normal, natural choice to go for a combination of the two. Yes, and that's about it. That's it. Yeah. Yes.
It's a cool visual.
It's a cool visual concept, but also this is a phone thing, and you go to use it with your fingers. The surface area, which you can actually touch on the buttons for back chat settings and menu, would you consider they are big enough to be able to so you hit them?
Probably not. they would have to be bigger. I see that. I would remove those lines personally. Right. I totally agree. So yeah, that's a good input. Other questions?
Hi, Sebastian from off screen now. Like you said, it's a visually stunning profile. I really like it. You obviously have a designer, like a visual designer on your group. And like they touched on, be sure to proof concepts like this with a broader audience. Because navigation through really, really cool stuff could be really, really interesting like the first times around, but could be cumbersome after a while. But at the same time, you've branded Grid really good by having this unique, like, shard grid-like or fractured grid or whatever you want to call it. So I'm interesting to see where this will go for the next prototype. I'm looking forward to that. Did you try when you tried the words contra things? Did you also try different headings? Because I'm interested if your users actually know what IMT 4110 is, or if they need another indicator on what this subject actually is.
The test person
didn't know. No. Yep. Because it wouldn't be a problem using the code for the subject if you're dealing with area experts, like the people that design the codes. But I think going that into detail could be problematic, and it sort of conflicts with your home screen, which is really more playful and not so serious. So there's some leveling there to be done. Other than that, cool that you went through iterations. How many people did you have for each round of testing?
Each or I tested on one person, I think two and one. So
yep.
Four together?
So three on the one prototype and then one on the last one, this one.
I had to speak myself right now.
Yeah. Yeah, so you gave them first the one, and then you went through the test, and then you gave them the other one, and then went through the test. So if you're doing that multiple versions of the same design, be sure to swap which one you give them first, because the first one will educate the users and highly influence their results on the second one. So if you want some kind of statistical significance when doing those kind of tests, be sure to swap them out. And also you will probably need like four starting with version A and four starting with version B. So you need a larger sample, because you're basically informing them with their first prototype and then they're solving with the second one. So, other than that, so you did first the think aloud test with this one and then a set of interviews, or? Okay, yeah. And that was exploration interview, or what kind of interview? No, but you did some kind of interview based research. Cool. I'm really looking forward to see where you take this. It's a really cool concept. Sweet.
That it's the last group, and we conclude. I don't know if you have any last remarks. We're over time now, so we'll have to let you go in some minutes. But do you have something large that you think that we should think about and evaluate or continue to work on?
No, it's that the more people you test with, the better. So like we talked about last in the previous lecture, is be rapid and test multiple versions of the same thing, and have a plan on what you're trying to achieve. Why are you doing this test? Like, what are the cost benefits? Because you have to manage this time towards other things you're doing. It was a nice time seeing all your presentations. You did a good job. You obviously have presented for before. If you want more, like be even more incredible at presenting, I would recommend just googling like presenting techniques and look into something called Presentation Sen. And last thing is watch a lot of Steve Jobs' presentation, especially his Apple iPhone launch of, 2006 maybe? That's like a master's class of presentation. And it's about the same thing we talked about last time. How do you layer your information? What are the key points you're trying to get across? And how do you structure it so that a person who don't have domain knowledge of the project you are working on understands why you did it, how you did it, and why it's awesome. And that's a really important skill when you're going to work as a designer, is that you need to be able to sell your design, because someone will either pay for it or not pay for it, and you want them to pay for it. That's the optimal outcome. So, thank you.
I just have two small questions. The first one is, when we do prototype, should we always do for iOS and Android? And the second question is, should we approach desktop design first or mobile first? Which one is the better way to approach?
Those are some loaded questions. There's a lot of debates about what's right or not, and it's not a one answer fits all. It depends on your product and on your user group and on what you're trying to achieve. But if I would give you a general rule of thumb, it's iPhone or iOS user group is way more bigger than Android at present. And it's easier to actually find users that have an iPhone than it's to find users that have a Android. That might be different on this call. So dependent on like your context of who you can get around it, that would be. And when it comes to desktop versus phone, it depends on who you're building for. If the users you are building for will be using this stationary at their desktop, go desktop. Like if it's a control system for something, go control system. But if it's a mobile application, something that should be able to do everywhere, go mobile first. And the value of going mobile first is it limits your the amount of content you can actually display at a time. So you have to be really, I wouldn't say clever, I would say really precise in what you cut and what you keep. Because it's not about hiding the content behind a hamburger menu or something like that. Because the research shows that they are not as useful as people might think. And if you use them to sort of like be a collection of all the junk you don't know where to put, they're awful. So it puts boundaries on how you present your information that are really, that can pose a really fruitful challenge. So if you want to challenge yourself in your design, go mobile first, because you have to be more precise. You have to be a better designer.
I have a question related to this. Some of us, we have been reading Karen Holzblatt, Contextual Design, and she says that recent years' development has made it's not really possible to separate and just focus on one platform. And if you should succeed, the same team need to work both on the mobile platform and on the laptop platform and so on. So it's... otherwise, you will not succeed. Do you have a comment to that, or?
No, that sounds about right. Way back in the day, Jakob Nielsen posted a white paper saying you should have different context for mobile. That is archaic. Like if you have a mobile bank, you expect to do everything in your mobile bank. And I'm fairly angry whenever I log into my mobile bank because I can't do certain things there. I have to go to the desktop. Going forward, more and more people will have mobile as their first or maybe only device. If you look at Africa, there are two interesting things happening in Africa. It's that they predominantly have mobile as their only device, and they predominantly use... Facebook as their only source of information. So that shifts the entire ecosystem, but it shifts how we design and what we design for. And when those trends are more and more apparent in, well, lesser developed countries than they are here, we will have at some point a generation that thinks more mobile first. It wasn't a clear connection between Africa and our culture, but still. My point was, I agree, you can't really separate the two, but there are still exceptions. Like if you're designing control panels or flight aviation systems or whatever, where you know it's one selected device that would always run this system, then you have to design for it that device. And it turns out, if it turns out that that device is a cell phone, then you have to design for the cell phone. Like someone mentioned Tinder and the swiping. You wouldn't make a desktop app for Tinder, I think. It would look totally different. It would be totally different. It would not be Tinder. So yeah, I agree on her thoughts.
Maybe two questions more. Do you have time for that, or do we need to go? The last one? One? Okay.
Yeah. Do you think, or have you seen any shifts towards people using more different devices? Like, so it's not just desktop mobile, but that it's shifting more towards smartwatches, tablets, or like even smart mirrors. Do you think that would be the future? More different devices? Or do you think it would move more towards everybody using mobile or one type of device? If you get the question?
Yeah. So yeah, the question was, is are we moving towards more like agnostic devices, or any device is a device? It's a long time since I looked at specific trends, but last time I checked, the tablet thing was slowly moving away. Cell phones have become bigger. We use cell phones more, and that has a lot to do with that they are the closest thing we have. So when you want to solve a problem, you grab the closest thing that can solve the problem for you. So it's about efficiency. It's about time. So going to your computer, logging on, doing all that stuff, horrible. Grabbing your phone, putting your fingerprint on it, go. That's good. So it's faster. And the smartwatches. They are, the way I see it, they are predominantly used as support systems for something else. Most of them now are connected to your phone, so you still need the phone as an operative device. They talked a lot at South by Southwest, it was last year, so that's a tech conference in Austin. They talked a lot about moving towards a device-less future. Like you have the like the heads-up display thing, what's it called, the glass and so on, and all of like Sony, Microsoft, all of them start using this, and VR and augmented reality and that sort of interface. There was a really interesting talk about how does Tony Stark use the Iron Man suit. Like, how does he operate it? And that's not through his iPhone. So it's a different kind of input and output. And they're not tied into one screen or one resolution. And that's also really interesting when you're designing a system, is that you can't predict what kind of screen it will be displayed on. So you have to be conformative to any type. And if you move, it's not that far of a stretch to see that you... or say that you'd have to be conformant to not a screen at all. Think about a blind person using your system. They will only navigate through voice and sound. And in that case, it's not really about the thing you're using. It's about how you layer your information and how you organize it, and what input do you give, what feedback do you give at what time. So that wasn't really an answer on where we're going with our tech, but you can Google something called Gartner hype curves. They're pretty interesting. They map out where like the industry thinks tech is going. And I think the thing I've sort of like, my feeling is that we're moving to things that support our lifestyle, like Internet of Things. Like your fridge can order milk when it's out of it. You don't have to punch that into your phone. So it's smarter system that don't really require you to navigate them on a surface. It's responsive to your voice or responsive to your touch or responsive to your presence or responsive to some other device doing something. So it's a hard question to answer. For sure, for sure. And it's like the mobile versus desktop. It's always an interesting challenge to design for something else because it teaches you a lot of constraints and boundaries and things you need to, or things that are equally applicable to all systems. And it teaches you a lot about like the core fundamentals of design, like expressing what is going to happen and educating the users about where are we going and that making them trust that your information is right, which all appear or all adheres to the heuristic rules we were talking about earlier. And that goes beyond is it a screen or is it a something, but it's really useful to have made a couple of like smartwatches apps that do something because you get to play with the heart rate sensor and you get to play with the like the movement of the watch and you get to play with a lot of stuff. And why not play? So did I answer your question? Sort of. Yeah. Okay. I have to go now. Thank you very much. It is truly a pleasure being here. And as an added bonus, I will steal some of your ideas and put them into context of my designs. Thank you.
Thank you. And I hope we see, some of us see Sebastian already next week.
I hope so.
Yeah. For the next course. And then the theme will be game storming. Game storming methods. But let's hope. And we meet again here at 1 o'clock. So we take a long break now. I think you earn it. Thank you very much.
Det står A25 på tal. Ska vi mötas här?
Nej, det är från igår. We meet here at 1 o'clock.